Reading from the Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat by Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur. We were studying this morning. Of course, there was a smaller group here, a core group here, but I'll continue it. And what time is it now? I just came from India, so I have 3:52.
5:20.
What?
5:20.
Okay. It's 5:20. Okay, so we're... What time was the class supposed to start in the schedule?
5.
So 5. So we're 20 minutes behind?
Yeah.
And the class was supposed to go from 5 to...
To 6.
Okay, we still may finish around 6:15. And then after that, there's a short artik for the deities.
Yeah.
And then we'll have prasad sometime between 6:30 and 7. We keep a tight schedule here. Tushar, at least the people in the kitchen, when they have to communicate, they can not yell across the fields. So we'll read this and we'll explain a little bit about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and I will speak some and then Maharaj will speak some. We actually spoke this morning for 2 hours. Now we'll just have a little short discourse. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chaksurunmulatam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Shayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadam. Now I chant my own prayer. Adadanas Janam Dante Idam Yache Puna Puna Srimad Rupa Padam Bhoja Dulisham Janda Jandani Vairagya Yug Bhakti Rasam Piyatnai Apayam Mamana Bipsamandham Kripam Buriya Paraduka Duki Sanatanastam Prabhumasrayami Vansha Kalpa Tarubhyasya Kripa Sindhu Vayevacha Patitanam Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare. So, we're reading from a book called Chaitanya Bhagavat. There are two main, there's actually three or four, but there's two main biographies of the life and teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One is called Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj. And another one, which concentrated more on the later pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then this is Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, which concentrated a little bit more on the beginning pastimes, although they contain them all. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and it's divided into three parts, his life. The first part is called the Adi Leela. That was from 1 to 24. And then at the age of 24, he took what's called sannyas. Sannyas means sannyas, renunciation, complete renunciation. Or sun also means sat, or to renounce everything for the truth. So sometimes saintly people who have that inspiration and the samskara, the previous impressions in their life for dedication to God, they naturally give up everything just for sharing God consciousness to the world. Everyone is suffering, and the root cause of suffering is ignorance. So the highest welfare work is to give others enlightenment or knowledge. Specifically, Bharate Bhumate Hoila Manushya Janmayara Janmasartakakara Kara Parupa, especially those born in Bharat Varsha in India. They're very fortunate, and they should work for the benefit of others by enlightenment. So they travel around and they give knowledge to cure ignorance, which is the root cause of suffering. And this is the highest duty that one could perform in society. Every town and village has hundreds and hundreds of doctors. Very, very important. Chanakya Pandit said, don't live in a village where there's not a teacher, a river, if they're not a teacher, a river, or a doctor. This is just basic moral instructions. So, but we see in the world that you go to many, many towns and you'll find thousands of doctors, hundreds of doctors, hundreds and hundreds of lawyers, thousands and thousands of engineers. But you'll find hardly any person who can Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana Hitaya Chachat Hitaya Krishnaya Govindaya, who can represent the spiritual and moral knowledge to actually give people the guidance and direction where they can perfect their life and become happy. They're getting expert, they can cure the people's bodies, but they can't stop death. They can give people greater comforts, technological advancement, etc., but they can't make people happy. So the highest thing is to actually dedicate your life practically in one way or another. That's the highest thing. Not everybody, there's an ideal, and then there's where we're at. And then we move towards the ideal. Without guilt, if we're moving practically. Humbly, we're not there. This is the ideal. This is where we should be. This is where we are. So we're humble. We don't have to be guilty. We can be humble. Or we can be guilty if we're not moving towards it in a practical way. So anyway, the story of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, specifically, we're chanting this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And he disseminated this knowledge and teachings of chanting Hare Krishna all over the world. This is actually the conclusion of the Bhagavatam. If you know, there's the Vedas. Veda means knowledge. So as there's the image given in the Vedic scriptures that the Supreme Lord is lying down, and as he's breathing out, all the universes come. When he breathes in, then all the universes come. And going, bhutva bhutva praliyate, again and again created and destroyed. And the whole purpose of this is for the souls who are bound in ahankara, or the false conception of life. Ahankara, I am the doer, I am the controller, the conception of life that causes them suffering, to somehow or other get enlightenment. That's the whole purpose of the world. Bhutva bhutva praliyate. So, and therefore, as God breathes out and the world comes, then how to use the world for that purpose of enlightenment? The Vedas come. Veda means knowledge. And what is knowledge? Knowledge describes the utility of something. Unless you know how to use something properly and have knowledge of what it is and what it's for, it has no value. So the important thing is knowledge. And in this life, we need knowledge. Knowledge how to achieve the purpose or goal of life. So there's these four Vedas And they're very, very vast. There was actually one. Anyway, when the world is, there's knowledge. And the culmination of all the Vedas is called the Bhagavat Purana. And the conclusion of the Bhagavat Purana, right in the last verse of the Bhagavat Purana, or near the last section, it says, Kaler Doshe Nidhe Rajan, Eko Asti Mahagunan, Kirtanad Eva Krishnasya, Mukta Sangam Paramvrije. You know, she's so beautiful that I don't have any chance. Honestly speaking,
we'll
what?
We'll try to limit her.
No, I don't mind. It's just, I'm just saying. You can't compete with that, you know, blonde hair, beautiful blue eyes. Here I am, just gruffy, old sadhu from Vrindavan. Says Kaler Doshein and Hey Rajan. This age of Kali Yuga, the Iron Age, is an ocean of faults. Eko Asti Mahagunan, but there's one good quality. Kirtanad Eva Krishnasya. If you do the kirtan of Krishna, if you chant the names of God, Mukta Sangam Param Vrajet, that one can actually achieve perfection. So in that same Srimad Bhagavatam, it predicts the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who appeared 500 years ago in the 11th canto, when the great sage Nimi, Karabhajana Muni, is explaining to the king Nimi, and he's describing the different avatars that will come in different ages. He explains, in this age of Kali Yuga, the present age, he explains, Krishna Vanam Tusha Krishna Sango Pangasta Parsanam Yagyai Sankirtanai Prayer Yajanti Hi Sumedasaha. So it says Krishna Varnam. There'll come an avatar. This is predicted 5,000 years ago. Krishna Varnam. Varna means to speak. It also means the class or category. So Krishna Varnam, he'd be speaking Krishna. Or Krishna Varnam, he'd be in the category of Krishna. Twisha Krishna, but his color, Twisha, Akrishna. Krishna means also dark. Akrishna means not dark or cold. So there'll be an avatar of the category of Krishna who would be constantly speaking about Krishna. But he would be Akrishna. He would not be dark like Krishna. He would be golden color. Sango Pangasta Parshadam. And he'd be surrounded by his associates, his expansions. Yagyai Sankirtana Prayer. And he would be doing the yagya of Sankirtan. Kirtan means glorification of God. Sankirtan means the complete glorification of God. And the complete glorification of God has two characteristics. It must be done with a heart of devotion with others. And when it's done with others, as we were doing, Sankirtan, chanting together, it produces special feelings of happiness. Yajanti hi sumedasa. And those who are intelligent will take to this process. Hadir Nama, Hadir Nama, Hadir Nama Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva Gatir. There's no other way, there's no other way, not by karma, not by gyan, not by yoga. Hari Nama, Hari Nama, Hari Nama Eva Kevalam. By this Hari Nama, chanting the names of God. There's the meditational process. But there's a difficulty with the meditational process in this age. Because the goal of spiritual realization is to focus the mind on the absolute reality. The goal is remembrance. The goal is the focus of the mind. we're actually suffering due to the inability to control the mind. If the mind is focused on the absolute reality, mayasakta manoparta yogam yunjan marasvaya asamsayam samagram yatayasyasi tachanu, in the Bhagavad Gita, 7th chapter, 1st verse, in the bhakti section, Krishna tells Arjuna, how do you become purified and liberated? What is the process? He said, just hear from me, in full consciousness of me, mind attached to me, and you will come to me without doubt. So what is the process? By hearing, the consciousness becomes focused. By hearing, just hear from me in full consciousness of me, the absolute reality, then mind attached to me. The consciousness changes to love. Mind attached to me. You're elevated or degraded by the condition of the heart. The more the heart is selfless, the more you're elevated. The more the heart is selfish, the more you're degraded. Selfless. The more you're selfless, the more you're loving, the more the spirit of devotion or bhakti is coming to the heart, the more elevated you are. So how do you get this? You hear. And by hearing, the consciousness is focused. And when the consciousness is focused, then there's love. Why? Because we have a natural relationship with the absolute reality, God, because we're part of God. And the attraction between two beings in relationship is love. When the mother sees the child, there's love. Why? They have a natural relationship. We have an eternal relationship with God. And when we focus the consciousness on God and remember God, then love comes from our heart. Our heart becomes purified. And the best way to do that, to invoke the remembrance, is chanting with music and the names of God. It's the most absorbing. And then the consciousness just be like we were chanting. We become absorbed. And the love will come from our heart. The devotion will come to our heart. So this is the process of self-realization for this particular age. And it was given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And now there's the wonderful story of his biography. Actually, we were explaining it. Up until the age of 24, that's called Adi Leela, the beginning. And then after that he takes sannyas, 24, and he leaves the world at 48. That's another 24 years. That's called Sesha Leela, the end Leela. And the end Leela has two parts. The Madhya Leela, where 6 years he travels around and distributes and teaches this Nam Kirtan. And then he retires to Jagannath Puri. I just came from Jagannath Puri. How many people have ever been to Jagannath Puri? Okay, I see there's not many Bengalis in the room. Because that's what I'll put it this way. What Miami Beach is to the Jews, Puri is to the Bengalis. Anyway, but he retired there for 18 years to show how to achieve the highest state of perfection in heart called Krishna Prema. Prema Pumartha Mahan. Mahan, great, Artha, of value. The thing that has the greatest value is Prema, or love. You can be the richest man in the world if you don't have love. If you're not loved and you don't love, you're not happy. We were discussing this morning, sometimes the most miserable people are very, very wealthy people. Everybody's saying no. Well, you don't know till you have it. I'm not talking about real wealthy. Because I know a few very, very wealthy people, and there's one problem they have. They never experience love. Why? Because everyone that comes to them is coming for a coming to get some donation. They're all, because everyone wants money. So they come. And then they never know, is the person loving me or he wants my money? So they become lonely. It doesn't have to happen. But I'm giving the example that without prema, without love, and what is prema? Prema is when love completely consumes the consciousness. It's actually perfection. Rasa vaisaha. It says in the Upanishads, rasa vaisaha. The absolute reality is that rasa or love. When you have perfection and you're free from ignorance, what will you see? You'll see that everything is part of God. And you have a relationship with God. And all you'll feel is that love and devotion. And that's the goal of life. And the method to achieve it is to worship the Supreme Lord. And the most effective way to do it is to do it by kirtan. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gives this kirtan. So we're up to the part we're reading this morning of the Madhya Leela. And what happens is, it was a very wonderful description Maharaj was explaining this morning, that you see, let me just explain something. You got to watch my hands, because this is a very subtle concept, can only be explained visually. This is the conception of God and where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes. In Sanskrit, it's understood that the quality of the absolute reality is called Advayam Gyan. Advayam Gyan means consciousness of which nothing is outside of. In other words, God means everything. Nothing is outside of God. If something is outside of God, then that something is not God. So God is consciousness of which everything, nothing is outside of. Now, very interesting concept. So God must be one. Can be nothing separate from God. But God is also the supreme enjoyer. And what is enjoyment? Enjoyment is love. And love requires duality. Love requires a subject and object of love. If everything is one, there's no love. There's no pleasure. So that supreme absolute reality, to be the supreme absolute reality, must have shakti. It must have potency. And therefore, that absolute reality eternally divides into two, Radha and Krishna. God as the object of love, and his eternal consort as the subject of love. There's the beloved and the lover. A very subtle point. Now, where does Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fit into this? Now, God is enjoying the love of his topmost devotee, Radha. And she loves him to an unlimited degree. And then God, Krishna, of course it's all Krishna, but then God thinks, well, I'm not actually enjoying fully. Why? Because there's something I'm not experiencing. And what I'm not experiencing is the sentiments of my devotee. I'll give you an example. You grow up and you have a wonderful mother. And you feel so much love. And what are you feeling? What are you experiencing? You're experiencing motherly love. You are the object of motherly love. Here you are. You're the child. Your mother's loving you. But you're not experiencing motherly love fully. Why? Because you're only experiencing motherly love from the platform of the object of motherly love. You are the beloved of your mother. So unless you also become a mother, you won't fully experience motherly love. And you won't enjoy motherly love to the highest. You may get motherly love and oh, my mother loves me, and experience motherly love. But unless you become the lover or the mother of the child, you will not full experience of love. So here's Krishna, and he's getting the love of his devotee, But he says, unless I can also take the position of my devotee and experience being the lover or devotee of God, I am not complete. So Gaur Lila or Chaitanya Lila means that the Supreme Lord, to fully be the supreme enjoyer, must also have the experience of his devotee. So again, God must be one, consciousness of which nothing is outside of, then God must be two. He must also have a Shakti or eternal consort, and then God must be one. He must also take that role. So this is the absolute reality. One, two, one. One, two, one. Like a dance. One, two, one. Must also become the devotee. So Gaur Lila is so beautiful. It's God coming to become his own devotee. Now here's the thing. God is the object of love. But God doesn't have love of Godhead. The devotee has love of Godhead. So God wants to come and get bhakti or love of Godhead. Now where do you get love of Godhead? You have to go to one who has it. So initially, and Varsana Maharaj was explaining, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, he initially did not have love of Godhead. In fact, he was a great scholar. I mean, we heard pastimes this morning. It was incredible. Maharaj was explaining. He was the most learned pundit. No one could defeat him. There's so much. You can go on and on. The story he told this morning was about this great pundit, Keshava Kashmiri. And Nimai Pandit was only 16 and he defeated him. And it was in those days, the biggest sporting event was between scholars. It wasn't the heavyweight champion of the world, it was the heavyweight brain of the world. And Nimai Pandit, everyone was afraid of this scholar was Dig Vijay. Dig Vijay means Dig Directions Vijay. He conquered all the directions of all of India. He was empowered by the goddess Saraswati. And when he came into, and you know, it's like a team. Like, if you come from New York, you root for one team or another. And you come from Boston, you root for another team. And it's like you identify with it. So everyone is identifying with Navadvipa, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was born, the greatest scholars. And they were so afraid that this Keshava Kashmiri, it was Kashmir versus Bengal. And they were afraid of Keshava Kashmiri coming in and defeating. And they didn't know what to do. But Nimai Pandit came forward. And he was such a powerful scholar that they met. They came in. And Keshava Kashmiri made the first blow. I think maybe Chaitanya Mahaprabhu maybe asked him, okay, describe the Ganga. As quick as the blowing of the wind, he composed 100 perfect poetic verses in all alankar, ornaments, rhyme about the Ganga. As the blowing of the wind, he just went, Tunde Tandavani Ritim Tandavale Karna Krota Kadamba. It's a rhyme, alliteration. Madharam Madharam Atam Mangalam Mangalanam Etam Nidam. He's just like so quick. Everything, rhyme, poet, Ganga, explaining poet. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Shruti Dar. You know what Shruti Dar means? Shruti means to hear, Dar means to hold. It means you. By hearing something once, you remember it. People have that quality. That's why previously the Vedas weren't written. Because writing was a sign of ignorance. You didn't have a good memory. And more sign of ignorance is computer. you really don't have a good memory. But previously, they were Shruti Dara. In English, they have an expression that's the opposite of Shruti Dara. Shruti Dara means it goes in and you hear it. My mother used to use this phrase. It goes in one ear and out the other. But he can remember. And he found the most minor literary discrepancy, because in composing it really quick, because the Ganga is on the head of Lord Shiva, so he had to give a term for Lord Shiva. So, and you needed the right alliteration. It had to have like the rhyme. It had to have the right thing. And he was so quick. He came up and he sang, you know, Barbani Bartu. Bartu means the husband. So who's Lord Shiva? The husband of the wife of Lord Shiva. Bhavani Bhartu, the husband of the wife of Lord Shiva. Now, Lord Shiva is the husband of the wife of Lord Shiva, something like that. But the discrepancy is, and Lord Chaitanya pointed out, if you say the husband of the wife of Lord Shiva, it may refer to someone else besides. Maybe she had two husbands, the wife of Lord Shiva. It was a minor discrepancy, he pointed out. Anyway, but he wasn't acting as a devotee. He seemed to be proud. Then his father died, and he went to Gaya to perform oblations. We had a very wonderful description, and he meets Ishvara Puri. Ishvara Puri. He meets his guru. And from the guru, he gets love of Godhead. He doesn't have it. So all of a sudden, now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is coming back to Bengal from Gaya, and we see in this story, all of a sudden, there's a tremendous transformation in him. Because now, God, Krishna, who's coming as his own devotee, looking for love of Godhead, has love of Godhead. And what love of Godhead? The highest love of Godhead. Because Krishna wants to experience not only love of Godhead, but the highest love of Godhead, which means the love of Godhead of his topmost devotee. And not only love of Godhead of his topmost devotee, but love of Godhead of the topmost devotee at the height. That means Radha. He wants to experience Radha's love, but wants to experience Radha's love at the height of her love. And what is the height of her love? Anyway, it's such a short class, but in Chaitanya Charitamrita, when you see in his last days of his life, the last 18 years, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in this cave in Puri, this little room called Gambira, and he's constantly chanting Hare Krishna, and he has his associates, his eternal associates, Sarup Dam, I got this from you at the Panihati, I never forgot it, Ramananda Roy on one side, Sarup Damodar on the other side. Ramananda Roy giving Krishna Katha. Because how do you get that love of Godhead? You hear about love of Godhead. Krishna Katha. And the other side is Sarup Damodar singing songs and poetry. Because love is embodied in song and poetry. So there's the song and poetry and the drama on one side, the stories, the Krishna Katha, there's these stories, there's the songs, and it's churning because love flows like a river. And a river needs to flow forcefully. Prema is love that's flowing the most forcefully. That love needs two embankments. A river takes two embankments. If it only has one embankment, it doesn't flow. It floods the plains. It's not forceful. And what are the two embankments of love? You need union and you need separation. You need to be with your beloved. You need to be separated from your beloved. So these two embankments, it's a whole story, but he's just hearing the stories, and then he's feeling so much separation from Krishna that he's in his heart, he's saying, Hey, Krishna, 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 hey! Krishna, 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 Pahimam! Hey, Radhe, Vrajadeva, Kechalalite! Hey, Nandasuno, where is Krishna? He's about to die from the separation. And then Swarup Damodar begins to sing songs of union. Radha Krishna Pranamora Yugala Kishora Jivane Morani Gati Aro Nahi Mor Kulindira Kuli Keli Kandamberavan Ratana Bedira Upara Bosa Bodujana. And then he's feeling some relief. And then when he's in the mood of union, and the love is not flowing, because now I have the love of my life, then the songs of separation come. Yaya nilo prema dhana karuna prachur. So he's cultivating this. So anyway, he goes to Gaya, described the footprints of Vishnu are there, he sees the footprints, and all of a sudden awakens in his heart the highest love, Prem Bhakti. And now he's coming back to his village, his town, and the people are greeting him. And they see a big change in his heart. Because this is the topmost experience of love. And love is an emotion, and it overwhelms one. So he becomes intoxicated with love. And he's just crying constantly. The Lord sighed when he spoke the name and place sacred because of the Lord's lotus feet. Chaitanya shed incessant tears from his lotus eyes. At the end, the Lord became very restless, repeating the word Krishna. He wept again and again. The Lord sighed and said, Krishna, Krishna. His tears of love could have filled a forest of flowers. The hair on his body stood erect. This is also a science. In the highest stage of love, called prema, one of the bhavas, or ecstasies, is called sattvika bhava. It means the object of your love is stimulating you to such a degree that it agitates the mind and comes in contact with the different subtle elements in the body. When it comes in contact with the air element, the hairs stand on end. When it comes in contact with the water element, torrents of tears come from the eyes. When it comes in contact with the earth element, one becomes stunned. So all these symptoms are manifesting. The Lord cannot stay still. He trembled violently. When it comes in contact with the air element, one starts to tremble. And according to the degree of the emotion, it will tremble intensely. And it will tremble pervasively. And it will tremble for a duration of time that's long. So Sriman Pandit and the other devotees gazed at the Lord as he shed wonderful tears of love of Krishna. From his eyes, the Lord shed a flood of tears that filled the four directions. It was as if the Ganga had suddenly descended to this place. Struck with wonder, everyone thought in his heart, I have never seen anything like this. Lord Krishna must be very merciful to me, the devotees are saying, that these ecstatic symptoms now walk on the pathway of my eyes. The greatest thing is to see someone at the highest level of ecstasy. After some moments, the Lord returned to external consciousness. At the end, he spoke to everyone. So this is just a taste of this Chaitanya Bhagavat. And it's beautiful. This begins the beginning of the Sankirtan movement. It's very interesting. How does it begin? How does God consciousness spread? First, the devotees come together and churn the nectar and ecstasy of Sankirtan. They meet every night, all night. And they develop it themselves. These kirtans in Srivasanga, Marj is going to explain a little something about that and the pastime of the Sankirtan movement. But when it comes together like that, then it explodes. That's how Krishna consciousness spreads. First you relish it, you intensely. This is any principle of expansion. Any principle of expansion is first intensifying the source of the expansion. Right? If you go too quickly when you don't have capital, what happens? The business collapses. If you go too quickly before you have physical training, what happens? You get injured. So to spread anything, to develop anything, first you have to go inward. You have to develop the foundation. So the foundation of the Krishna consciousness movement spreading was devotees coming together intensely and relishing Krishna consciousness. Now Marge is going to explain a little bit something. Maybe we can hear a little bit of the Leela of the Sankirtan movement, what it was like, what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Mahaprakash, the Shankazi, the, you know, something of it. And we have about a half hour, I think. What time is it now? 5:30?
Six.
It's six now. So we have at least, we have a half hour, because everyone came 20 minutes late. So we can have a half hour. That's not too bad, as long as then if it's 6:30 and then we can have kirtan, then prashad is at 7, it's not that bad. Okay, we'll just relish. Listen carefully, this will be nectar to the ears.
So in this Dhanadhar Swami just explained very beautifully and scientifically how Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, found it perplexing that there's something outside of his experience, and that is the love of his devotees towards him. He said, being the object of love, I cannot taste the joy that the subject of that love experiences. There's another dimension which Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami analyzes very scientifically. Srila Vyasadeva came in two forms to compile Gaura-lila. As Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami glorifies Vrindavan Das Thakur for his work, he says, the pastimes of Lord Krishna are beautifully described in the holy Bhagavat, Srimad Bhagavatam. The Vyasadeva of Gaura-lila is Sri Vrindavan Das. So beautifully he's described the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya and Nitai. And to explain what Krishna Bhakti is and how it is and why. So beautifully he's conveyed the pastimes of the Lord that even if the most godless souls could hear his words, they would surely repent and join the ranks of godly men whose souls are heaven sent. If even atheists could hear his words, they would experience a taste of the nectar of devotion. So he concludes his glorification. Therefore, I bow my head again and again towards the place where he took birth, Vrindavan Das Thakur. So Srila Vyasadeva, who compiled the four Vedas, the Upanishads, the Puranas, the Itihasas, the Samhitas, not satisfied with all the phenomenal work he had done for the welfare of the world to give the spiritual science, and his spiritual master Narada Muni appeared to him. Said, such wonderful selfless work you've done for the welfare of the world. You yourself, the author, is not satisfied. And Vyasadeva said, yes, what is the reason? Narada said, because you have not explicitly emphasized the pastimes in the holy name of Sri Krishna, which alone can totally satisfy the heart of the living entity. So Lord Krishna, he wanted to experience that love of God from the perspective of his devotee. But Krishnadas Goswami, Kaviraj Goswami, see, Vyasadeva had to take two forms, working simultaneously, because the pastimes of Lord Gauranga are so infinite that even Ananta Shesh, with his thousands of hoods, who is since time immemorial glorifying Lord Gauranga, cannot ever come to the end of one day's pastimes. So Srila Vyasadeva came in two forms, Vrindavan Das Thakur, the author of Chaitanya Bhagavat, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he analyzes the thought process of the Lord in this regard. As Maharaj explained, Krishna is thinking, what is the nature of that love that the devotees feel towards me? Specifically, his most beloved, Srimati Radharani. When a breeze carries to her the fragrance of my form, she is blinded by love and tries to fly into that breeze. When she tastes my remnant, she emerges in an ocean of joy and forgets everything else. What is the nature of that love? Krishna wanted to taste that love. He saw a joy in his devotee which he never experienced in himself. And then Krishna began to further consider that I am the source of everything, including joy. I'm the source of everything. How is it that my devotees experience more joy than me? How is it that in the meeting between myself and my beloved, she experiences 10 million times more joy than me if I am the source of everything, including joy? This was perplexing to the Lord. It was a paradox he could not understand, and he concluded that he would never understand it by analysis. He could only understand it by experience and realization. So as Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains the three primary internal reasons for the appearance of Lord Chaitanya is desiring to understand the glory of Srimati Radharani's love, the wonderful qualities in him, Krishna, which she alone can fully relish by dint of her love, and the sublime happiness she feels when she tastes the nectar of his love. For these three reasons, the Lord appeared from the womb of Satyadevi, his mother, like the moon arising from the ocean. Those are the internal reasons. The external reasons are that Sri Advaita, who is Mahavishnu, Karnadakshaya Vishnu, was calling the Lord to come. He wanted him to come at the beginning of the age of Kali. He saw that this age is so horrible, so degraded, so much suffering. The Lord must come at the beginning of the age, otherwise it will just be too horrible. So he was thinking, but how to bring... This is Karnadakshaya Vishnu, the great professor of bhakti. He was the one professor in Navadvipa. See, the other professors, they were teaching the holy scriptures, but they would never bring up the topic of bhakti, loving devotional service. Advaita, every scripture, every word, everything meant bhakti. But he was thinking that the most exalted love of God is that exchange between Krishna and the Brijavasis. Only Krishna can bestow that flavor of rasa. And in this most degraded age, as Maharaj said, Kalir Dosha Nidhe Rajan, it's an ocean of faults, this Kali Yuga. It's the epitome of degradation and sin. So Krishna was thinking, when a disease is most deadly, then the most potent remedy is required. When the disease of envy is so rampant and so focused and so condensed and so deep and all-pervading, the only thing that can save the world is the most pure and condensed form of love, which is found in Vrindavan. So Advaita, although as Karnadakshaya Vishnu, he was perfectly competent to inaugurate the Yuga Dharma, which is the chanting of the holy names in every age of Kali. But in 1,000 cycles of the Yugas, one in 1,000 Kali Yugas, once in a day of Brahma, once in 8.64 billion years, Lord Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan, not an incarnation, not an avatar, but the avatari, the very source of all the avatars, he decides to descend. But when Krishna is thinking to descend, Srimati Radharani and Goloka Vrindavan says, well, how can you go without me? He said, well, I won't go without you. In fact, I will plunder your emotions and go in a form to experience your love. You're going to plunder my emotions. And when the Lord plunders her emotions, what's left is Gadadhar. To teach. The other, you know. But then she said, but how can I live in this in that world, in the material world, without Govardhan Hill and the Jamuna and the Chintamani Dham? And Krishna said, they're already there, waiting for us to appear. So Navadvip is Gupta Vrindavan. Vrindavan is the realm of Madhurya, the sweetness of Ujjala Ras. Navadvip is the abode of munificent love, Udarya. They're not different, inasmuch as Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya are not different. Udarya is contained in Madhurya in full. Madhurya is contained in Udarya in full. But there's a different emphasis. The emphasis in Krishna Lila is Krishna Lila is the treasure. Lord Chaitanya is the distributor. Krishna Lila is the mystery, which no one can understand, including Krishna. Chaitanya Lila is the revelation of the mystery and the secret of bhakti. So the external reasons was it was time, according to the desire of Advaita Acharya, for the incarnation of the Lord of the for the age for the incarnation for the age to come. But Advaita was more than competent to inaugurate the Yuga Dharma, which is chanting of the holy name. He wanted Lord Krishna himself to assume the role of the Yuga Avatar, knowing that if Krishna himself takes it upon his own shoulders the function of establishing the Yuga Dharma, it'll be a much higher concept. Yuga Dharma is the process of purification in each age by which the soul becomes purified through the process of sadhana, which is in the Sati Yoga meditation. In the Treta Yoga, it is sacrifice. In the Dvapara Yoga, it is worship. In the Kali Yoga, it is chanting the holy names. By taking that process of worship, the soul becomes purified. And in its purified state, it feels affection and attraction for the Lord. And that attraction draws the soul back to the eternal spiritual realm of Vaikuntha. But prior to this day, in 1486 AD, no higher concept existed of anything higher than achieving that eternally happy, peaceful realm of Vaikuntha. No higher concept existed. No one ever entertained the thought of any higher destination or aspiration than that. The idea just simply did not exist. And the example is like Vaikuntha is like the kingdom. Or say there's a great king and he has his kingdom. And the king lives in the palace. And in the kingdom, the subjects have access to the king. They can come to the courts, the king's court, for official business. But no ordinary citizen would cherish such hopes as being adopted into the king's family and living in the innermost chambers of the palace in an intimate, loving relationship with the king, where the king becomes subservient to their affection. And Srila Prabhupada gave the analogy of, you know, some man came to see a high court judge. It was an important man to come see the high court judge. And the judge was busy. He couldn't see the man. So his servant said, "You have to wait." And the man was waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. "I'm very important. Why can't the judge see me?" The high court judge. So he opened the door and looked in. And the judge was just crawling around on the floor with his son on his back. The judge was playing like a horsey, and his son was riding him. Now, normally, a citizen cannot take that role toward the king. He's not likely to be adopted into the king's family and ride around on the king's back. But if the king so desires, he can adopt anyone into his family and exchange that kind of love with him. But it's just generally unheard of. So the king's court is like Vaikuntha, where we come before the king in great reverence, but there's a distance mandated by respect and rules and regulations. That distance is an inhibition to free, pure, unrestricted, spontaneous affection. And the Lord feels a little bit diminished, and the subjects, some subjects want nothing more than that kind of love. But the Lord said, that kind of love doesn't fully satisfy my heart, and it surely cannot subdue or control me. So Advaita wanted the best for the world. He could have distributed, he could have inaugurated and established the Yuga Dharma himself. He's an avatar. But he wanted Krishna to come. How to bring Krishna? Advaita was thinking, how can I bring him down? And then a verse drifted into his mind that Sri Krishna is very affectionately disposed towards one who offers him the simplest offerings of love, such as a handful of Ganges water with tulsi leaves and manjari leaves. So he vowed, I will bring him down. And with the Shalagram Shila on the shore of the Ganges, offering water and tulsi manjaris and leaves, sometimes roaring like a lion, and his loud cries penetrating the walls of the universe and resounding in Vaikuntha, and sometimes sobbing like a child, begging the Lord, pleading with him to come and save your children. The Lord was attracted. But the amazing thing was, for over 16 years, it was really about 20 years, that Advaita was still worshipping the Shalagram Shila, praying and pleading and roaring and crying for the Lord to come, before he realized that the Lord was living next door. Because the golden avatar is Chana avatar. His Leela is confidential. It's not described overtly in the scriptures that the scholars can see it, and even the devotees have difficulty. But if they're trained, they can see that Gaur Leela is the hidden import of all the world's revealed scriptures. So Advaita's, he's continuing this. And then, you know, one day, And Lord Chaitanya's older brother, Vishwarup, he would always go to Advaita's house to hear the Krishna Katha and the Krishna Kirtan. And he was too absorbed in his secular studies. He was not in, he would not talk topics of love of God, as Maharaj said, until he honored the etiquette of receiving it from one who has it, his spiritual master. Some other sadhu would send little Nimai, little Lord Garaga, go get Vishwarup, he's not coming for lunch. Because, you know, our soul, the food for our soul is Krishna Katha, the drink for our soul is rasa. And they would just forget. So she would send Nimai, go get Vishwarup. And in the heat of the all absorbing topics of Krishna, when everyone was fully absorbed, or maybe they'd be some days absorbed in kirtan, and little Nimai, completely naked, covered from dust, playing in the street, would enter the assembly. And whatever was going on, it could be Bhagavat discourse, it could be Krishna Katha, it could be Krishna Kirtan, whatever it was, it would stop. As Advaita looked upon that form of the Lord, and the Lord would take Vishwarup by it, come, it's time for lunch. He would lead him out of that assembly. And everyone would look at Advaita. Who is that child? That he stops the chanting of the holy name, that he stops the discourse on Bhagavat, and everyone's hearts and minds and senses are fully attracted to him. So I don't know. And one day when Advaita was worshipping his Shalagram Shila, and Nimai came into the room, and Advaita suddenly had a realization, that's him! He turned around and he began worshipping Lord little Nimai. Began worshipping him. And Gadadhar said, Advaita, what are you doing? Worshipping this young lad? And Advaita said, very soon you will realize who this young Lord is. And then Gadadhar, you mean this is Krishna who you've been asked? And then Lord Chaitanya had fallen unconscious. Otherwise he would never accept this worship. When he came to, what is going on? He left. Advaita, what came over me? What comes over me every day? When this boy comes in, I feel that this is Krishna. But when he leaves, how can this be Krishna? Little child roaming naked in the streets, defeating all the pundits, never talks about bhakti. And he was bewildered. I thought, there's one way to find out. I am his servant. And if he's my Lord, he will call me. He went back to Shantipur and he began teaching Yoga Vishishta, which is a text which is very, very... The Mayavadis are very fond of this text because it emphasizes the impersonal aspect of the Lord. So Advaita is teaching very, very enthusiastically Yoga Vishishta, and the Mayavadis were very enlivened. Because we hear that even Mayavadis, even impersonalists, they become attracted to Krishna. But never has a Krishna Bhakta become attracted to Mayavad. So the Mayavadis were enlivened. And Haridas Thakur was bewildered. What is going on? And then Lord Chaitanya asks Nityananda, what's Advaita up to? We haven't seen or heard from him for a while. We should go check it out. Yeah. So after the incident with the tantric sannyasi, they jumped in the Ganges. Lord Nityananda just kind of sprawled out like this. Lord Gauranga lay down on him, and they floated down to Shantipur. And when they reached Shantipur, Lord Gauranga began to roar. I am he who descended to kill Kamsa and to kill Ravana and to kill all these. And now my servant Advaita is proclaiming that Gyan is higher than Bhakti. today I have come for Advaita. And he, in a very angry mood, he walks from the Ganges to Advaita's academy, and he sits down and listens for a little while until, yeah, what he sensed was true. Advaita's teaching impersonalism. So he asked one question. Am I understanding you properly? That Gyan is higher than Bhakti? He said, yes, absolutely. Gyan is the eyes. How can you see without Gyan? Gyan is superior to Bhakti. And then Lord Gauranga raced from the back of the room to the front. And he proclaimed, I am he who descended to kill Kamsa and to kill Ravan and to kill all of them. Today I have come to kill. And he started punching Advaita. Lord Gauranga, who's generally the humblest, the most gentle in the mood of Srimati Radharani, but he has to perform the function of the Yuga Avatar, which is just like Srila Prabhupada coming to America. You know, we wanted to hear Krishna Katha, but if the word scientist or Mayavadi ever came up, he went into a different mode altogether. Because he had to clear away the weeds before Bhakti Lata Bija could grow without a petal. So Lord Gauranga gently so just swathed into lotus. And so kind of, he was punching Advaita, his senior Vaishnav, like a guru, and he's punching him. And the students were bewildered, what is going on? And Haridas Thakur is chanting Krishna, Krishna. And Sita Thakurani, she's pleading, he's an old Brahmin, you're not supposed to kill a Brahmin. And he's just enraged, he's punching him. But the funny thing is, every time he punched him, Advaita, Hayibo! Die! Punch him again! And then finally Advaita became so ecstatic by being punched by Lord Gauranga that he just began dancing and said, where is the illusion that I am the master and you are my servant? Now I wanted the world to hear that you are my lord and master, but nobody would really believe it unless you proclaimed it yourself, and now you've done it. And he was just dancing around it. And then Lord Gauranga realized, I've been tricked. And then say, yes, today you've been tricked, and I have outsmarted you, and I have tricked you, and I have bound you up. And then Lord Gauranga said, what did I do? I was beating it. And then Lord Gauranga became very morose. What did I do? I was beating this great Vaishnava. And Advaita looked, you're all wet. Because they floated down in the gun. You're all wet. And you must be hungry. And then Sita Thakurani, that maternal bhav, she prepared prasadam, and they served. And then, when they went out of the academy of Advaita, there was a temple. So Lord Gauranga went into the temple and bowed down before the deities. Lord Nityananda bowed down with his head at the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. Advaita came in and bowed down with his head at the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda. And then Haridas Thakur looked and said, this is like a bridge leading to Vrindavan. What? Everybody turned around. What are you doing? Yeah, he turned around. What are you doing? He turned around. What are you doing? Because there's no way to reach Krishna except through Lord Gauranga. There's no way to attain Vaikuntha except through the authorized Sampradaya, who is teaching the authorized Yuga Dharma. That can take you to Vaikuntha. But only Krishna can bestow the love of the Brijabasis. Lord Gauranga came to taste the unique flavor of Srimati Radharani's love for him. And he came to distribute. Nobody can distribute Srimati Radharani's love. That's her own unique property and domain and monopoly. But there is something that can be distributed. That is the love of her associates. The Ashtasakhis are her Ashtasatukabhavas, her own emotional ecstasies personified. That can be distributed. The servants of Srimati Radharani, the ecstasy they feel in serving her and in that way pleasing Krishna, that can be distributed. Radha Bhav, in the form of Gopi Bhav, or even higher, is the Manjari Bhav, the very innocent, selfless, young maidservants to the sadhus. These ecstasies can be distributed, and they were distributed. All this is contained in the holy names. Maharaj was explaining this morning how when the devotees around this time of day, they would go to Sri Vasangam, that is Vrindavan. And there they would reenact Krishna Leela. Where is Krishna? Krishna's in his holy name. Lord Gauranga is in the mood of Srimati Radharani wanting to taste the love of Krishna through the holy name. What is Rasa Leela? The universe is created.
I'm going to have to be the Chamkazi. You have to end
Maharaj's entering into the Leela. Becoming a Chamkazi.
And he's the Nawab who shot some.
Vrindavan Das Thakur repeatedly says in Vrindavan Das in Shaitanya that those who are fortunate can see the pastimes of the Lord taking place even today. And Mahaprabhu would identify who the different devotees were in the Nitya Leela.
We're going to regularly have Gaura Leela here with Barsana Maharaj through the next 6 or 7 months. Actually, Kailita, I was thinking we should plan one weekend up there in the yoga barn room, and we can invite people. It would be a great. It was him. Because of the young kids, and they have to get home. March. This was. I couldn't stop it, actually. There's so many points coming. Gopremanandi!
You have to open up the heart chakra like this. Gopremanandi! Like this. Gopremanandi! Lala? Gopremanandi!